is North Sound 1 Friday Sports.
Welcome. In the next 60 minutes, bring you everything you need for a complete weekend of sporting action ahead. Tonight, the Dons still in the cup after a 1-0 away win over Partick, but now face the daunting prospect of Celtic away in the next round. Before all that, though, it's back to league action and a match against a team directly below Aberdeen in the table, St Johnstone. We'll check in with the boss in just a moment. Plus, the latest from the rest of the Scottish Premiership, the Highland League, Balmour and beyond, including rugby, golf and more, ahead of the in-demand top 30 on the North East number one for sport across the region before 7 o'clock. Stay with us.
This is Friday Sport on North Sound 1 with John Mellis, Dave McDermott and Dave Galloway.
First, though, as always, to Pittodrie and boss Derek McInnes, taking his current club to Perth to play his old one.
Going to be a tough match with a tight game against St Johnstone here. Felt we took to the second half to really kind of get us at the level we're looking for and spark us into life and creating a few opportunities. But no, St Johnstone are always a tough side to play against. You know, I think they've. I think this season has been much of the same. I think they've finished in Europe the last couple of years, and us as a club have finished in the bottom six. So they've got a really settled squad there. Made a lot of signings. You know, they've brought a lot of players in. They've certainly got a real strength and depth because they've had a couple of injuries, but it's not affected them too much. So. A tough match, of course, but a match obviously that we're looking forward to.
It'd be great to build up a bit of momentum going into the sort of festive period, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it's just good to get back to league business, to be honest. And St Johnstone away is no many tougher games than that in the league, but it's a game that obviously we feel we can win. We get a good result, performance for the majority at Partick last week in a cup game, and. Even the performances prior to that, there was a lot to be pleased about. So hopefully, as I say, we bring a level of performance that gives us a chance to win the game and be mindful of the threat of St Johnstone at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, last weekend it was a good case, wasn't it, of the boys maybe weren't playing at their absolute best, but they dug out a result, they got stuck in, they rolled their sleeves up and just worked really hard.
Yeah, well, it takes different characteristics to win a game. You know, you can't always win a game just by being good technically and good on the ball, but I thought we were that for a bit. Certainly the opening half hour period, I thought we placed a lot of good stuff. We get our goal in that, and I think it knocked the confidence apart it. But after that, you know, especially away from home in a one-off cup tie, you're never going to get it your own way, and we dug deep and fought hard for the result. Kept a Partick Thistle team who normally create chances in a game to very few opportunities, and Jamie never had a lot to do, so that shows you the work that was done ahead of him, and that was pleasing. Back to a clean sheet, as I say, we're quite proud of our goals against record this year, and I think that tomorrow, Saturday's game will be something similar where we need to show a lot of battling qualities. Good defensive work, good organisation, but an ability to go on the ball and try and make things happen as well, as we always ask the players to try and be the player they can be.
Evening, you're on North Sound 1's Friday Sport. Joining me as always, Dave's Galloway and McDermott. Derek asks his players to try and be the players they can be, so be the pundits you can be. Dave the Younger brought it up in the chat with Derek. Yep. There. Not our most polished performance after a promising start last weekend, but the main thing is... We got through to the next round, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, there was a mixture of silk and steel for the first half hour or so. Aberdeen looking very good. It did tail off after that, but we showed a lot of resilience and guts and determination just to grind out a result. And, you know, that's the mark of a good team. You've got to somehow win ugly on occasion. And that's what we did.
St Johnstone tomorrow in the league, who tend to blow hot and cold, Dave, struggling a little bit for consistency of performance, but only 2 points behind us in the league. And not that I'm being a doommonger here, but where it all looked so promising a few short weeks ago, lose this one, we're back to sixth spot. There's a bit of distance to seventh, but all the same, you know, if you want to be there or thereabouts in the latter stages of the season, it's really the type of game that you should be winning, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, but they've got a very, very good home record in the calendar year that is 2013, and it will certainly not be easy, but, I'm, as ever, confident that we can go down there and do the business. As you say, the top six kind of breaking away from the other half. But you want to be, we want to get on ourselves on the coattails of Inverness Cali Thistle. It's a huge period with games coming thick and fast. So you know, you would accept a point, but you obviously Derek and the team will be going for the three.
Leading the charge from the off in recent weeks has been Aberdeen's Calvin Zola, who says he's not used to the attention he's been receiving from Scottish refs.
You know, I've been, I don't know, 10, 11 years in the game, never experienced that at all. My game has always been the same. Like, at my age, obviously, you don't change very much. You can still always improve, but, you know, you are probably what more or less like what you are. And I've never had, like, any problems at all with the way I play, you know, and coming here, like I say, it's a new league and new everything, and obviously the way that I've been penalised at times where barely doing anything at all.
Not something he's been used to at all, and you get the feeling he just wishes he could give the refs the elbow, which appears to be the entire problem. A couple of things on Calvin Zola, guys. I'm still not entirely convinced, but I don't know if I would use him up front to start every game. Find someone else to tell him, though. But you've mentioned before now, Dave, his sheer physical enormity is a problem for opposition defenders, and it allows the likes of Peter Pollitt to establish his own presence more in a game. Is it worth fielding Calvin Zola for that alone?
I think so, because Peter Pollitt is the one who's benefiting the most in terms of his teammates, and he causes havoc. He can look awkward. He does seem to get a lot of fouls against him. I think he's more sinned against than a sinner, to be honest, in terms of the way I can understand why he's a bit bamboozled. It just seems to be, as soon as he goes for a ball, the whistle goes against him. But, you know, we've seen the pattern. Around about an hour, 65 minutes or so, off comes Calvin and either...
and then worryingly, from the opposition's point of view,
Scott Vernon comes on. Yeah. So it seems to be, by and large, working. And I still think he's learning how to adapt to Scottish football. It does take time. And, you know, I think the manager's judgment has proved pretty sound so far. So I would... you know, I would go with him on this one, and I'm sure Calvin will end up hopefully in double figures.
That's a thing we'll come on to in a minute. For a lad of his size, though, first of all, I'd expect him to be more robust, but he doesn't seem to win that many battles, does he? He seems to come off second best a lot of the time.
I think at the start of the season, I would probably agree, but I don't think in the more recent weeks that's been the case. I think he's winning more in the air, and he's getting quite a lot of flick-ons, and he's managing to hold the ball up, whereas before he did seem to almost jump downwards. When you're that close to the clouds, it's maybe quite easy to
jump
do that.
Downwards?
I wouldn't know about that, of course.
I'm trying to picture that.
He doesn't get to that many high balls for a big fella.
I think that was the case at the beginning of the season. I think he's now timing his runs and his jumps a lot better than he was.
All this, I should say, is being hypercritical in a room at the end of a security doored corridor, Calvin, if you're listening. Should he have a better return of goals by now, Dave Galloway?
It's difficult to say. He is, as Dave has said, settling in very much, John, but there's a lot more to his game than just scoring goals. You know, he's a good sort of focus of the attack. He's good at holding the ball up, bringing others into play. I think he certainly is improving in the air. I think he was, as Dave said again, you know, he was a bit off when the season began, but I think he's doing well in that respect. Now, maybe Derek should consider putting a second player up front. Maybe it's time to have two up front. Maybe a little and large combination, if you like. That has
worked.
Anyone
with Calvin Zola is going to
it's worked very well for a number of teams, yeah. Hasn't it, over the years, yeah. Across the world, really. You know, maybe Calvin and, you know, Niall up front, for instance. Maybe that might work.
St Johnstone Coast, the team that we meet in the semi-final of the League Cup in February, chatting to Red TV's Mal Panton for Northern One's Friday Sport. Greg Wilde says the league game is all the Dons are concentrating on for now.
The game up here was, you know, very, what you say, very defensive. I mean, we couldn't really break them down at the end. We had a few chances in the second half with Niall shot and stuff, so, but, you know, at the end of the day, it was a point between the two teams.
Yeah. A lot of people are also talking about, because we're playing in the semi-final, it's a dry run for the but it really, I mean, both games are completely different, aren't they? So it won't have any bearing at all in the semi-final.
You know, it's Gundon on a Saturday's a league game, you know, the League Cup final's at Tynecastle, so it's a different venue as well.
Yeah.
But, you know, the two teams will look forward to Saturday in the league, and the Cup game will take care of itself when it comes along.
Greg and the team last weekend, Johnny Hayes was out, and looking more like the player I remember, David. It's been difficult because his start's been limited, but he looked better at times than Sunday, I thought.
Yeah, I think so. He's still not got himself into a run of games, which, as any player will tell you, you sometimes just need that to build up your form. So, no, I thought he did okay. He seems to enjoy playing against Partick. He's played both the games down at Firhill, and I thought he looked good. He should have probably scored. He did everything so well and just rushed the shot, a bit more composure, which he'd be, I'm sure, the first to admit. But I certainly he's got lots to offer, and he does put in a mean ball from that left wing as well.
You're in Northern One's Friday Sport. Don't forget the entire match in Johnson versus Aberdeen live with us tomorrow on Red TV at afc.co.uk. In position as always, the two Daves and Andrew Shiney with full match commentary through very red tinted spectacles. But if you can't be with us online, perhaps being dragged around the shops Christmas shopping. Keep up with things in the car. Elisa's on Northern One's Gossip and Goals. We'll bring you the talking points right here on Northern One. We're just ahead. We'll hear more from the Dons and tomorrow's opposition, plus the rest of the weekend action previewed in full on the way in moments on Northern One's Friday Sport.
Northern One with the best preview of the weekend sports action from across the northeast of Scotland and beyond. This is Friday Sport.
Tomorrow afternoon, it's St Johnson versus Aberdeen, and Aberdeen's Mark Reynolds is hoping to get back to winning ways with a performance the fans can relish.
I think this season we've got a nice bit of momentum going. We've kind of, the fans have got right behind us, and we've got, as I say, that bit of momentum carrying us through the season. And although we had a couple of bad results, we've still put in some good performances, and I think the fans have forgiven that because of the level of effort and the level of performance that's been put in. So, I mean, I think if we can just keep plodding along, and I think the manager said it, and it's kind of been passed down along the team, that we just need to take it one game at a time, and if we look any further than that, then we're going to trip ourselves up. So, I mean, February's a long time away, and there's a lot of league business to get done by then, and I'm sure come February time we'll be ready for it and looking forward to it, but as of now it's kind of out of the mind and we're concentrating Saturday.
It does seem very much like the players have had drummed into them, just go and get that job done. We'll think about cup games when they're the Saturday match or the Sunday match, but concentrate on your job for now. The thing is, Dave, you go and get a good win tomorrow, and I know everybody's playing it down, but if you get a good win tomorrow, that puts down a marker, doesn't it? It plants a seed in the mind of the St Johnson players when that cup game does come around. Hang on, they've beaten us already this year. It's an important thing to an extent in that sense, isn't it?
To an extent, but I think the fact it is so many, you know, so many games away, the team is going to be different by that time. You know, Willow Flood's on his way back from his hamstring injury. You'd hope that Barry and Willow would both be in the centre. That was only Barry's second start last week. So
great delivery, I thought.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that, you know, and that's why Derek signed him for that kind of quality. So I think, yes, you want to win the game first and foremost for three league points and to open up the gap between St Johnson. But yeah, there's all sorts of psychological positives that you'll take. But equally, if it doesn't go that way, the manager will turn it round and make sure that they're not seen as psychological negatives. And I'm sure Tommy Wright will be exactly the same. So you just want to win the game so we get 3 points, pure and simple.
Mark Reynolds has been in impressive form, as we've said, week after week, as has the defence in general. It still seems a bit strange considering that we conceded 3 and then 3 before that 1-0 win last weekend. But they have been performing well in general. Resilience required again tomorrow. Not too much being made of St Johnson other than the Stevie May threat. Is he the big threat for our regard?
He is one of the threats, but they're certainly not a one-man team. I mean, accused Hibs last year of being as close to a one-man team, and I stand by that accusation.
They were.
And
Lee
I think I'm right. But,
and you finally got rid of Pat Fenlon as well.
Indeed, no. But no, they've got Steve McLean. They're missing him just now, ex-Don. He's out injured. But no, they've got fairly steady defences. The manager made the point they've got quite a big squad, so they can bring players.
Ring the changes.
Ring the changes as they want. So you know, but Stevie May is a quality player, and he'll have to be watched. But we've got quality players on our side.
May and Hasselbank up front, a very potent partnership. That's a partnership that's almost come together by accident because of the aforementioned McLean's absence. But Hasselbank's just come in. He's done well.
I think he came on as a sub in the game up here, didn't he? Right back at the beginning of the season, I think. Mm-hmm. And he always has that sort of that impact burst of a player coming on and actually sort of, in the same way that Josh McGuinness might have for us, just coming on and rumbling the feathers a little bit. Let's get on to the teams for tomorrow. Predicted Derek time. These are the 11 men who you think will start for the Dons against Saints. Dave the Younger, we'll start with you. The team for tomorrow.
Okay, Langfield in goals, across the back, Hector Anderson, Considine and Reynolds, Jack in front of them, then McGinn, Pollitt, Robson and Wilds, and I'll stick with Zola up front.
Yeah, exactly the same. Okay, and like,
we did not collude.
The one to watch, the man who will potentially make the difference to the result for the Dons, Dave the Elder.
I'm going to go for Peter Pollitt because he's playing against a side that he spent some time at last season. He knows them very well. They know him. And he's having, I think, undoubtedly his best season for Aberdeen now that he's one of the first names on the score sheet. He's got a couple of goals so far this season. I'm going for Peter to be instrumental in perhaps maybe bag a goal as well.
And Dave the Younger.
I'm going to go for Barry Robson. Very impressed with him last weekend against Partick Thistle. Magnificent corner kick for Considine's goal, the only goal of the game. And Robson can only get better from here on in.
OK, and finally to a scoreline for the match, St Johnson versus Aberdeen. Dave, we'll go with you.
I will go for 2-0 to Aberdeen.
And Dave?
2-1 Aberdeen. I hope David's right and not me. But I'm going for 2-1.
Okay, I'm actually going for 2-1 as well this time around. Before we get on to the other games, let me just bring on both the topic and the poll for this week. Remember, we love to have your involvement on the show. We do that, generally speaking, via Aberdeen Mad with our weekly questions. First of all, looking ahead to the festive season and in amongst the turkey sandwiches, a glut of home games to enjoy as well, which forms the subject of our weekly poll entitled Dandy December. So, Dandy December, will Aberdeen win their last five games of 2013 to finish the year with a flourish? Will Aberdeen win their last five games of 2013 to finish the year with a flourish? Those games, incidentally, starting with St Johnson away tomorrow, followed by St Mirren at home next weekend, which is really another reason why we need a good win tomorrow, so that my programme article is easy to write for next weekend.
Absolutely.
Great win against St Johnson.
Yeah, but, yeah, it was like the easy weeks.
You've written already, haven't you?
Yeah, so St Johnson away tomorrow, St Mirren at home next weekend, then Inverness away on the 21st, a 5:30 kick-off for that one. Thanks.
Great, thanks guys.
Yeah, Motherwell at home on Boxing Day and Ross County to finish at home on the 29th of December. So, will the Dons finish 2013 with five wins in a row to finish the year in a flourish? What's the result so far, Dave?
Well, it's quite surprising. Yes, just 30.2%. No, 69.8%.
When was the last time we won five league games in a row, though?
But why shouldn't we? Why shouldn't we?
No, I don't know. I'm just saying, because I know when we were on that run, I think it's a long, long time ago. So I think it would be great to think so, but, you know...
Hang on, Andrew Shiney is phoning me right this minute. So the last time we won five games in a row was... Yeah.
Not to pick up a draw along, you know, Inverness away is going to be a very, very toughie to.
So five wins in a row is possibly a bit of a stretch, is what
I think
you're
saying. You know, so for once, I don't think it's Aberdeen fans being negative. I think they're being maybe a wee bit realistic.
Okay. So four wins and a draw, is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, if we have to settle for that, okay, then.
Let's just mention this reply from Rico S321, will Aberdeen win the last five games of 2013? Says, yes, they will indeed. Who are we playing? that's like Dave Mack answering, yes, we will. Who are we playing? Oh, Barcelona, fair enough. And from the poll to the topic started this week by Hemoglobin, who's focused on something that he spotted online. He says, Scottish football is damaged by loss of Old Firm games poll, an excellent illustration of the concept known as the tyranny of the majority. Dave's got a brief summary of the piece. Followed by your views.
Yep, D-Don, only 36% think it's worse without the Old Firm playing each other. 33% don't think it's worse, and 30% don't give two hoots. Not the words he used. Redbeam stopped reading it at Rangers were thrown out of the league. Just another fabricated story from the Glasgow Press. From Los Polos Hernandos, he liked this comment. This Rangers fan doesn't miss the Old Firm nonsense. Frankly, once we're back in the top tier, we should be looking beyond Scotland. 39,000 last night at Ibrox in a cold midweek December night suggests the supporters haven't walked away. Red Sned on tour. What load of rubbish. What does this show? Maybe that 36% of people polled were Rangers fans who are obviously going to say it's worse off. Silly poll with no substance whatsoever. From Fearsome Engine, what an exercise in the pointless. And from Verminator, stupid PR exercise by the Glasgow Press on behalf of that lot. Again, not the words that were used. Any excuse to mention them in the same breath? Not that they need any. Nothing to see here. Gogs 1958 agrees. Eintracht Frankfurt ads agree. Pure propaganda that would make Goebbels blush. Them and their cohorts in the Glasgow Press would be better just admitting the truth rather than keeping up the shameful facade that Sevco is really Rangers and that they didn't die in June 2012 when they most certainly did. Ohio Red, nobody cares whether the Glasgow fans are happy about the current state of things. Seems a good number of them didn't care one way or the other either. Aldo 1903, the thing is the mainstream media have finally woken up to the fact that this new club is struggling big time. There would appear to be a concerted effort to keep the pretense up at all costs. And finally from Panda, Celtic fans are bored because as much as they're enjoying Rangers' misery at the moment, they secretly miss the Old Firm games and a genuine title fight. Rangers fans may say they're enjoying the journey up the divisions, but there are no games giving them the adrenaline rush all football fans crave. That won't come unless they get a big Scottish Cup tie. It's certainly not going to come against Dunfermline. However, that doesn't mean Scottish football is worse off. This season is a cracking story developing and it's intriguing to see how it will turn out. Are Aberdeen going to end their trophy famine? Can these Dundee United youngsters stick together and keep on improving? Can Inverness stay in the hunt for second now Butcher is gone? Can Hearts beat relegation against all the odds?
Can. OK, as always, we love to hear from you via our weekly topic and poll. Just keep your comments clean so we can use your input on air. And we're back with the poll and the topic again next week. You'll find both of those in Aberdeen Mad from about midweek onwards. Now, in the other games, and the first is tonight at 7.45, when Motherwell host Celtic, Stuart McCall, looking to bounce back from cup humiliation.
We've had this sort of wallowing. We've felt sorry for ourselves, and now we've got to go out and play football. And, you know, I look at the league table and we've got 25 points, we've got well over 150% wins already this season, and I think believe it's 5 points more than we got last season at this stage.
Celtic are looking to move on in a similar vein following a 7-0 pasting of Hearts last Sunday.
They've got to restore some pride. It was a big shock because, you know, it's been so consistent over the last couple of years. I wouldn't say form goes out the window, but we're in good form. We want to maintain that, but we will come up against a very, you know, dogged and determined Motherwell.
Motherwell versus Celtic, Dave. This one kicking off at 7.45. Celtic needed that result last weekend. No European fixtures to distract them now, of course. Motherwell, meanwhile, they need to find a performance of their own to answer critics. How's it going to go?
I think Celtic will take the points, which is a result that would suit Aberdeen. I think rather bizarrely that the pressure mounting from some factions of the Motherwell support on Stuart McCall, and again it shows they're out of both competitions before Christmas. It does show that I think most fans would prefer, you know, fair enough, play the League Cup up to a certain point before Christmas, but the Scottish Cup for the bigger teams should begin in January. I think most fans would probably agree, and it does seem a bit incongruous. They haven't got a great cup record, but I think Celtic will win, going back to tonight's game, by 2-0.
In the other games, Jackie McNamara's free-scoring Dundee United are at home to the Hearts side, which leaked 7.
Hearts obviously disappointed with the result last week, but for us it's important we don't think about what they're going through. It's important we go about the same way and treat the game in the same manner as we did against Kilmarnock. And if we do that and keep our discipline, then I'm sure we'll go on to win the match.
Hearts' Gary Locke, though, bullish as always.
At the start of the season, I think, you know, everyone certainly out with the football club kind of expected us to be on the end of a couple of heavy defeats. I say to you, you know, that was always going to happen probably at some point. So it has happened, and it's important now that we respond in the right manner. And I've got a lot of faith in this group of players.
Which is probably just as well, because there hasn't got an option B, really. So there is no option B to push Hearts, I should say, with the added incentive of going on to 0 points tomorrow with a win. Dundee United versus Hearts, Dave.
I can only see one winner. A convincing Dundee United victory for me, John. Maybe not by 7-0, but I can take Dundee United to win 3-0.
Terry Butcher making steady progress in his first couple of games in charge at Hibs tomorrow, hosting Partick Thistle.
It's only two wins in 2013 here at Easter Road, so you know, the only way is up as far as I'm concerned. But you know, we've just got to approach it the right way, and I think you know, the players are mentally stronger now. They're looking forward much more to games now and looking forward to playing at Easter Road.
I'm not taking anything away from any progress that Terry Butcher's made, but there is something to be said for inheriting a team at just exactly the right time with the right run of fixtures coming at you. Hibs versus Partick, Dave.
Yeah, I think a narrow Hibs win. They have got a poor home record in the league, but the new manager syndrome is working and really difficult. Different to John Hughes up at Inverness, where it can only go the other way, but Terry Butcher, really, you'd expect Hibs to at least find some form in the short term anyway, so I'm going to go for 2-1 to the home side.
John Hughes, incidentally, always entertaining. Stay here for that in just a minute. Ross County beat Kilmarnock in Dingwall. County boss Derek Adams.
I had to build a new side every season. I had to build a new side in January of last year. I had to build a new side at the beginning of the season. You know, every season I've had to build new sides because we always lose players to other clubs, and it's just the nature of the football club we're at.
So the good news is, you know, if all goes south, he could always be a builder by the looks of it. Ross County versus Kilmarnock. Dave.
Ross County against Kilmarnock. That's two underachieving sides that are really on a downer. I can see that one being a rather tame 0-0 draw.
Simmering play host to John Hughes and Inverness side in his first match as boss. St. Jim Goodman weighing things up in advance of the game.
Terry and Morris are both very strong characters, and I think they've replaced it kind of like for like, if you want, you know. John Hughes is very similar, I think, to Terry Butcher, you know, and I think he'll probably be looking to get the same response from the players as Terry did.
And explaining his survival methods for a career in football management, Big John Hughes says,
"You have to have a skin like a rhino. Some will say I look like one, but some..." What are you laughing at? You can edit that, but you're going to leave it in, aren't you? But you have to, because you have to roll with the punches, you know, and if we won every week and everything was glamorous, then everybody would want to do it.
Like I said, he's always entertaining. So, St Mirren versus Inverness, and for once, Yogi's hoping to avoid boo-boo. Dave Woolley?
I think perhaps 2-2 for that one, I think. But, you know, the Inverness side showed they can still pick up results when they don't have any manager. You know, Duncan Shearer was in temporary charge. So they're a good squad that will work their socks off for each other.
This is Northern One's Friday Sport. We have rugby, golf and more football to come. That's first with a full preview of the games elsewhere, as next we turn to Balmour and Jim McAnally directly ahead on Friday Sport from Northern One.
Northern One. This is Friday Sport with John Mellis, Dave McDermott and Dave Galloway.
In Scotland's League Two, Peterhead starting to click now. 3-0 win over Montrose last time at Balmour, which takes them up to third. Tomorrow they face leaders Clyde away from home. Boss Jim McAnally.
Clyde, I think they're on the best run in the league. I think they've undefeated in 10 games. Really well organised side. And to be fair, I mean, probably the last game against them was included in that 10 games where, you know, they equalised against us in the 92nd minute with a very debatable penalty. So, you know, you do feel as though you owe them one to a certain extent, you know, because we played a lot of that game with 10 men, certainly most of the second half, and we done well in it. So, you know, we know we get in there tomorrow. We know what the prize is if we win the game. And, you know, we'll get in and enjoy it and look forward to it.
In the Highland League, we're in that period of the year when the pitch inspections are about the most action any club sees. But it is forecast to be a lot milder tomorrow. And should they all go ahead at Panton like this, first off, leaders Brora Rangers are up against fourth place Nairn County. Cove Rangers are at home to Clach. Forest take on second place for Martin United, who got back to winning ways last Saturday with a 4-2 victory over Lossiemouth for Martin's Steve Patterson.
Forest had a poor run earlier in the season, but I think it was kind of mainly due to a lot of injuries in their ranks, and you know they've got all their main players back now. So, and their recent form's been pretty good. Like, I think they won 5 of their last 6 games. So, Forest are always a tough team in terms of, you know, they're very physical. That, you know, past champions, you know, and have retained most of that team at Winner League, so on their own ground, obviously. So it's a testing game for us because we've sometimes struggled in these type of games, you know.
It's a basement battle when Fort William welcome Rothes. Bucky Jags travel to face Chris Hunter's Fraserburgh side. Fifth versus sixth, easy for me to say. When Inverurie Locos take on Devon Vale, Turriff travel to Keith. Lossiemouth host Huntley, and third top Wick play third bottom Strathspey.
Easier for you to say there.
Strathspey Thistle. And in the juniors, Dave.
Yeah, again, likely to be some pitch inspections. All the games at this moment in time still officially on in the PMAC Group. Super League Bank City are at home to Elland United on the artificial pitch at Spain Park. Cooter take on Devon side. New Elgin travel to leaders Dice FC. Stonywood welcome East End. It's Hall Russell United against Maud. Bankery St Ternan go to Hermes. Stonehaven against Longside in the First Division East. Bridge of Don Thistle are at home to Glentanner. That should be a good one. Colony Park against Newmarket United. Buckenhaven Hearts travel to Cruden Bay. Fraser United versus Sunnybank. Parkvale up against Lewis United, and in the west, Burghead Thistler at home to White Hills. Fochabers go to Inverness City. Islevale against Dufftown. Nairn St Ninian at home to Bucky Rovers, and finally Forest Thistle, they make the journey to Port Gordon, Victoria.
Now, the World Cup draw made earlier today, and we'll have a quick glance at that. I have the groups here. It's two qualify from each group, isn't it, from the opening games. Mm-hmm. So Group A, Brazil, Croatia, Mexico and Cameroon. None of these are straightforward. Who would you take from that? Brazil, Croatia, Mexico and Cameroon to go to the latter stages. Brazil and...
I'm going to go for Brazil and Croatia, although it's a pretty strong group all the way up. It should be. It's World Cup finals.
I would go to Croatia just to edge out Mexico.
Yeah. Okay, so Brazil and Croatia from Group A. Group B, again, Spain, the Netherlands, Chile and Australia. Spain and the Netherlands?
Possibly, although Chile showed at Wembley recently that they're not too shabby a side either. Yep. So, but Spain, and from a European point of view, they're closer to Scotland. So Spain and Holland.
We'll be supporting them this year, are we?
Never underestimate a Chile.
The nearest countries.
Group C, Colombia, Greece.
Yes.
The Ivory Coast and Japan. Colombia, Greece, Ivory Coast and Japan. That could be anything really, couldn't it? Colombia, Greece, Ivory Coast, Japan.
Colombia are the top seeds there. I quite think the Japanese impressed last time. You'd imagine that they seem to have improved since their last appearance. So I'm going to go for Japan and Colombia.
Group D, Uruguay, Costa Rica, England and Italy.
I would go for... Now, honestly, I would go for Italy and Uruguay.
Yeah, I think...
I don't think England will get out the group.
It'll be interesting to see if Suarez gets booted by somebody before the end of the season, because Uruguay... like Dave, I can't see past Uruguay and Italy.
You would think it would have to be Uruguay and another, wouldn't you, from that group? You know, whether it's England or Italy, but you'd think it'd be one of the two.
You'd think so.
Yeah. Okay, Group E, Switzerland, Ecuador, France and Honduras. Presumably, Switzerland and...
France, I would go for.
Yeah, France, definitely. But,
they got in by the back door, so I think they're a better side than that.
Group F, Argentina, Bosnia, Iran and Nigeria.
Definitely Argentina and, obviously.
Yeah, Argentina and Nigeria, because again, African football is on the up and they're a delight to watch. So, and there might be an ex
Aberdeen. You're going to do the
Shawnee Aluko if he gets fit again.
Clutch at it,
Group G, here comes another one. Germany, Portugal, Ghana and the USA. Germany and Portugal?
Yeah, stick on.
I would think so.
I don't think America will be that far away, though. Because they're certainly doing... What are they, 13th
in
the world?
Yeah, they're not bad at all.
They're solid. Mm. And finally, Group H, Belgium, Algeria, Russia, South Korea. I think Belgium and... But I wouldn't like to say who the other one might be.
Again,
South Korea might
one.
Be an interesting bet.
Belgium, very exciting to watch. They've got some great young players. I mean, they played some brilliant stuff at Hampden when they, you know, they dismantled us, really, didn't they?
Yeah, they were so impressive.
They were fabulous.
Qualification.
I'm good for Belgium and Russia to get through in that one.
Belgium and Russia for that one. Okay, so
you know, join us over the coming months and we'll decide who's going to win the World Cup before it's anywhere close to kicking off. Mm-hmm. Those are the qualifying teams for this year and we'll find out how it's going to develop. So that's the World Cup in short. You're in North Sun 1's Friday Sport. We still come ahead of the in-demand top 30 at 7. We focus on rugby and the English Premier League. Keep it North Sun 1's Friday Sport.
North Sun 1, the official station of the Dons, keeping you up to date with the latest from Pittodrie. This is Friday Sport.
In England, Manchester United manager Davy Moyes will be hoping his side can ease some of the pressure on him when they return to Premier League action this weekend. The champions are without a win in their last three top flight outings, including the defeat this week to Everton. Colin Beasley looks ahead for North Sun 1's Friday Sport.
Sir Alex Ferguson's successor is having a turbulent honeymoon period. His side go into the early game at home to Newcastle tomorrow, 12 points behind the leaders. But Moyes points out that they were on a good run before Wednesday's loss.
Yeah, it was our first defeat in 13 games. We hope we can sort of do something very similar in the coming games.
Well, after their win at the reigning champions during the week, Everton aim for a victory at leaders Arsenal on Sunday. Manager Roberto Martinez knows this is an even bigger test for them.
I think Arsenal deserves a lot of respect. If you, in the first 14 games, you're capable of winning 11 games, I think you're the outstanding team.
Chelsea could be a point off the top by the end of tomorrow if they can get past Stoke. Third-placed Manchester City are at Southampton, while Liverpool are a point behind them going into the home game against struggling West Ham. At the other end of the table, Sunderland could climb off the bottom if they can beat Tottenham at the Stadium of Light. They'll also be hoping Crystal Palace slip up against Cardiff. Ian Moody was recently appointed Palace's sporting director, a role he took up shortly after losing his job as Cardiff's head of recruitment. He's concentrating now on his current position and told Sky Sports News his 19th placed team have been steadily improving.
We've put together a little bit of momentum. We've got three positive results in the last four games. It's taken us away from the bottom of the league. So all you hope for is forward progress. And we've seen enough of that over the last month or so.
Elsewhere, Norwich travel to West Brom and Sunday's other game sees Fulham host Aston Villa. Swansea v Hull completes the weekend's fixtures on Monday.
In golf, some welcome news today for Paul Laurie as he received his OBE to add to the MBE he's already been awarded. He's been chatting to Derek Ferguson for North Sun 1's Friday Sport.
Well, it's obviously brilliant. It's a great honour to get. Not a huge amount of people obviously kind of receive them, so it's nice of them to think of me. But there's obviously a lot of people who are connected with the foundation that are kind of need a special mention. My wife in particular does a unbelievable amount of work and makes me look, you know, pretty good. I get all the plaudits, but Marion and our foundation managers through the years have done a great job and looking after all the kids and spending the money that we raise.
It's fair to say this ends 2013 on a high for yourself then.
Yeah, it's not been a great year, obviously. I kind of said that a few times. It's been a bit of a struggle this year. I've not played very well, not hit the ball as well as I'd like, and not putted very good either. So all in all, with the tournaments I've been in this year, it's been a disappointing season. But I've been in pretty much every day, hitting balls and working away at my putting in bits and pieces. And I've got good feelings again about next year. I've kind of recharged the batteries and I'm ready to go.
But by far the most exciting news today from Paul Laurie is that he's considering a Dons-themed putting cover for the Golf Centre shop. I saw it on Twitter.
Saw it on Twitter. Come on, you Reds.
Get in. Now, rugby Aberdeen Grammar are back in action in the Caledonia Regional Cup. Away to Falkirk, head coach Kevin Wynas.
Falkirk are doing well in their league. Certainly at home, they are quite strong. They've had some good results in their league this year. They're a big set of forwards. We did play them in a pre-season game and they gave us one or two problems early on. So I think any team in the Cup would want to have a go at a team in a higher position. So I think it'll be another cracking game and hopefully our boys can come away with a win and you know, just relax enough to score in the right times.
And that's just about it for another week. Apart from this Red TV travel bulletin from Dave Galloway.
Yes, if you're travelling down to the game and there will be thousands of Aberdeen fans going down, please leave a fair bit of extra time for your journey. There are extensive bridge repairs on the Creef Road overbridge adjacent to McDermott Park. Delays before and after the game are inevitable.
Okay.
Yeah, so. I think the advice is either go through the city. I think they are trying to keep the slip road open, which is out where the buses go, for about an hour after the game, which will be fine for the fans, and it will be closed again just before we're leaving. So we'll have to find another way, I'm sure. But
the red TV chopper, perhaps.
Yes, that'd be nice.
My goodness, I don't know what to say. Yeah, that would be good. That would be good.
Now, as far as the weekend action is concerned, Dave?
First of all, Jim Irving hopefully will be at Inverurie Locos against Devonvale if that one goes ahead, which hopefully it will do. We are, of course, heading off, Andrew, Shiny, Dave and myself, down towards Perth early on, leaving plenty time for that one. Updates, of course, here on North Sound 1 with Elisa and Gossip and Goals. Full commentary over on Red TV. We'll be underway just before 3 o'clock.